You mentioned last week that you're starting to experiment on social media. And I know you as a college professor who is teaching all the cool kids who are all over the coolest of the cool, newest stuff. What channels are you looking at with most interest that fit the way you want to present yourself in a professional, true nonfiction brand way that you do?
Oh, that's a great question. And the reason I love that question, DP, you always ask really, really, really great questions, is because it really is, because social has become so segmented. And so even each platform, you know, Instagram with Instagram stories, the normal Instagram feed, Instagram reels, is gets so sub-segmented. Part of it's finding where your best creativity is and going there. One of the places that I'm really looking at hard right now, and it's because of Chris Brogan and Carrie O'Shea Gorgone, as well as Jennifer Ast and Mike Alton from AgoraPulse, they're doing some awesome, wicked, awesome, cool live shows that they're streaming in multiple places, but they're daily shows that are, it feels like I'm watching a TV show, a fun TV show from back in the day. And they're incorporating, Harry and Chris in particular, with their show, The Backpack, they're incorporating some really cool immediate after the show commentary, where it's like, immediately after the show, Chris and Carrie will talk for 10, 15 minutes. They're using StreamYard, so they're streaming to a number of different platforms, but they will talk about what they just heard in the interview. And they've got all different kinds of guests. Some of them are pretty interesting. Today's guest was a sex therapist talking about some different things during COVID. They've had a guy who's a guitar player for Slash. They've had tons of different people from all over. But I'm really interested in that because I think, especially as we look for different forms of entertainment during our current time, the opportunity to do some type of show is one that I think can put people who are interested in speaking like us and doing workshops like us on a map in a way that other types of content can't happen to as much. It can show what we can be like in live, real-time interactions. And in this case, with Carrie and as well as Jennifer and Mike, they interview people live. And it's a lot of fun because there's community engagement. There's really good information. And so part of it is I want to push myself a little bit in there. So getting into the live streaming more, I've thought about it a lot for a long time. I did some actually a while back, but I just got away from it.
Right.
And so for me, it's thinking about circling back to that. And I don't think I'm going to do a daily show. I think that'd be too intensive for me. But I think a weekly show would be like we talked about in the last episode of guitar playing. I think for me, it would just be really, really fun to do. The other thing that I'm looking at doing and starting this fall, and I'm not 100%, maybe we can figure it out here, is I'm living alone and I do have my kids sometimes. I get interaction with them, but for all intents and purposes, I'm living alone. And so I'm looking at doing a Tim Ferriss type show, and I haven't decided podcast or video, more of recorded is what I'm thinking of. Doing experiments, 2 week to 1 month experiments, testing things that are designed very much like the Happiness Project, a very popular book that was written where the author tested different methodologies or different ideas that are supposed to make you happy. And then she reported back on them. But for me, it's looking at, I know a lot of people are struggling with mental health. I know there's a lot of people who are living alone, and testing out and doing some experiments with different practices and principles and reporting on that to try to build a sense of community and tell people what I'm doing, but hopefully help each other out as winter comes, you know, the famous Game of Thrones line, that winter is coming. So that is kind of like very much like your guitar playing, because I do struggle with mental health, especially living alone. And when winter hits, I know that's going to be a challenge. And just like we talked about with jiu-jitsu, when you recognize there's a, not an enemy. I like to call enemies teachers now. When there's a teacher coming, you want to prepare. And so I'm looking at some things with different types of meditation, different types of breathing exercises, different types of physical exercises, different types of journaling, and just reporting what I'm doing and how it's working and seeing if anybody wants to join me, kind of like an open mastermind type deal. And that I'm trying to decide what platform would be best. Would it be like what we're doing here, video and then podcast, or what would be the best way? But essentially, if nobody ever listens to it or watches it, for me, it would be, can I help myself get through this winter and come out stronger through the process, rather than, you know, facing some of the struggles that I've faced in the past?
I applaud you for looking at live streaming or creating some type of show project, because let me tell you, as you said, there's no better way to demonstrate who you are, what you do, and how you do it than getting on camera, using your voice, using your, even the looks on your faces, your sense of humor or lack thereof.
I've heard of there's a lack thereof. Yeah, me. Well, I'm like, but, I think I'm funny.
But even the, you know, when, like, if you're going through struggles and you're authentically sharing it, people can see it and feel it. And longtime listeners or frequent listeners of the podcast will remember episodes with Christian Small, the pro golfer in Sydney, Australia, who I talked to, who went on a journey to try to qualify for the Australian Open. Spoiler alert, he didn't qualify, but he did 191 days of building a community that followed him to the point that one of the people who followed him donated $10,000 in his name to the charity of his choice because they were so inspired by his journey, his authenticity, and what he showed of himself. The other thing on the good side for the professional side of Christian Small is right in the height of COVID, when he's homeschooling his kids, he gets an inbound job offer from a local golf course because they knew exactly who he was, what he did, and how he did it, because he had demonstrated it in public in a way that attracted their interest and proved his value to that company. The company came calling on him, not vice versa. Wouldn't you love to have companies coming to you saying, we'd like to pay you more money and have you work for us on your terms? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can happen, especially if you demonstrate exactly what you're talking about, who you are, what you do, and how you do it. Absolutely. Via live streaming. In fact, I've been playing around with that myself as I write a brand new book every night.
Yeah,
right around 8 p.m., I'm going live to one or two people as I write the damn thing. But let me tell you, it keeps me coming down every night to work on the book. And that's the most important thing. To use a word from last week's episode, it forces me to practice what I'm actually preaching in a way that frankly burns a lot of the fear out of me.
Yes.
Going live the first time was pretty scary. Going live the second time, a little less scary. Going live the 175th time was like water off the back of a duck. Who cares?
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
And what I love about that, and I will love it, what I love about you setting that precedent there too, is that you also, for people like me, who would be like, oh, how many people are watching? You literally don't care. It doesn't matter how many people are watching in the moment. Because the story that you talked about the gentleman trying to get into the Aussie Open, the immediate return doesn't mean anything.
Right.
What he gained, you know, so, okay, let's say he didn't have that many viewers over the 101 or 191 days, whatever it was. He had one huge one that donated at the end, and he had another huge one that offered him a job. Because what you're demonstrating in those moments, and I think this is why that practice is so important, is when you get to the point where you realize it's for you and it's going to make you better, people say, man, that person's got work ethic. That person's got perseverance. That person's got stick-to-itiveness. And that, as a part of your brand, is invaluable. I don't know if this is still true, but I talk about it in my personal branding class at UW-Madison, is that there was a study that was done of HR people. I believe it was done by Yale University. And what they did is they talked to HR professionals and they said, what is the number one trait you look for when hiring somebody that you think is going to be a good long-term hire? Because people now turn jobs over so quickly. And the number one trait was not their GPA. It was not what college they went to. It was not what degree they had. It was their level of passion and enthusiasm that they demonstrated for what they were going to be doing. And that's where live streaming, creating content, you know, whatever it is, allows you to demonstrate your brand as, even if you're quiet and introverted, can you show passion and enthusiasm? Yes. If you're super extroverted, if you're a speaker, if you're a knitter, whatever, it absolutely you can. And that's the beauty of what you're talking about, DP, is that going and doing that as a part of your brand shows somebody who's thinking of hiring you that I'm not going to have to motivate this person. They just love it. And that enthusiasm, and you've heard it, I'm sure I've heard it, and anybody out there, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have, people come up to you and like, man, you made me interested in this, and I wasn't even interested in it, but you just get so excited about it. And again, you don't have to be super vibrant and change your voice and use hand gestures. You could be much more introverted and relaxed, but that comes across. And that's where, when you think about content production for us as individuals in the nonfiction branding community, that can have a tremendous legacy. And at the very least, the very, very, very least, is you are going to be, like in the last episode, chipping away, where we talked about Michelangelo, you're going to be chipping away parts of the marble that you don't need and becoming more of who you are and allowing yourself to be more true and know what that brand is. That's your worst case scenario of doing 100 some shows in a row as you're writing a book.
Well, and the shelf life of those things, I mean, they're not one. What am I paying YouTube to have those videos hosted? Zero. Mm-hmm. What am I paying Facebook Live to, or Facebook to have those lives housed on Facebook? Zero. I have access to a worldwide audience for $0.
Absolutely.
If you're not taking advantage of that, you're mildly insane. I hate to say it. And I just want to prove your point a little bit too about how demonstrating who you are, what you do, and how you do it is, can be so valuable. I don't know if you've heard this, and I don't know if it's 100% true, but my Twitter feeds and stuff like that have been going crazy because they're looking at a new host for the game show Jeopardy to replace Alec Rebek. Do you know who they're talking about? Ken Jennings, the highest earning player on Jeopardy of all time, who looks like the accountant you talked about last week.
Exactly.
Who should be in a cubicle kind of going, hello, I saved you more money off your taxes this year. Yeah. And he might be the host of the show. And guess what? He's got street credibility like nobody when it comes to Jeopardy, you know, the show that he owns, basically, because he's so good at it. He's even being considered for the role of the host of Jeopardy because he has demonstrated that he knows the game, he's mastered the game, and he's earned the respect of anyone who loves that show.
Yeah, yeah. And if you think about it, that passion, that drive, that energy, that wasn't going to result in anything. You know, he just loved it because he loved it. And now it's provided opportunities for him, and not just to be on the show, but now to potentially be the person who fills Alex Trebek's huge shoes on that show. Because he just loved it. His intention wasn't, I'm going to study Jeopardy because I want to take over the show. And, I, you know, it was, I just love this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a good lesson for all of us, again, is that sometimes when you do this, and I've been listening to some Tim Ferriss interviews where he's been interviewed on some of the podcasts I like. And one of the things I like about Ferriss's stuff is that he will often say, they'll say, okay, so what's your 1-year plan? Where do you want to be 5 years from now? And he's like, I don't think that way. And I'm like, well, what? You don't think that way? And I first heard this when he was interviewed for Entrepreneur Magazine. And what he says is that I have no idea what opportunities are going to come up a year from now. And if I limit myself to having a 5-year window or a 5-year plan, I might miss opportunities. So when I wrote the 4-hour work week, if I would have said I want to be a famous author, I would have missed out on speaking opportunities. I would have missed out on doing a Netflix special. I would have missed out on all of this stuff. So what he does instead is he does 6-month like experiments is what he calls them, where for 6 months, I'm going to dig deep and see with where does my guitar playing get me? I'm going to make it a daily practice, or 6 months of live streaming once a week and see as I write my book, where does that get me? And 6 months of practicing the golf and see where that gets me. And new opportunities pop up because others are observing and others are seeing what your brand is. You're discovering who your brand is. And the thing I think what I really like about you, and I still struggle with when I'm talking to my audiences and my students, is they still think brand is something that is manufactured.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. What it is it is the essence of discovery of who you are. And who doesn't want to be around people who are confident in who they are, to where they don't have to put somebody down. They don't have to be a jerk, but they're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of it again. And that's why I encourage anybody who listens to your show to really think about what are those some of those little things. Guitar playing, hiking. For me, I'm starting to learn how to write Japanese calligraphy, because Bushido is written in that, and I'm trying to teach myself some of it. I'm awful at it for somebody else, but for me, I love doing it. So, you know, that essence of, okay, what am I trying to get out of this? And it's to figure out who I am or what I'm about, and then share it with people so that they can see it. That's a marketing opportunity that you get. Again, like you talked about with Chris in Australia. I've heard that so many times, where there's stories like that as the end result, these unintended or unthought of opportunities that pop up because somebody took the time to do that.
Yeah. And they only can happen because someone went out and started doing.
Yes.
Again, tying it back to the word you talked about in last episode, practice. They put it into practice, not necessarily with I have a firmly visualized goal of where I'm going. It's more like what you're talking about, which is, I want to try this live streaming thing, maybe do a show. Let's see where it goes. Maybe no one will watch. Maybe I can create a community out of this. Maybe that community can eventually become a profit center for my business. Wow. Or generate some revenue for me. But maybe that's not why I'm doing it, because what I'm really interested in is discovering about myself, if I can do this, how I can do this, and if it's legitimately, vocally correct for me and who I am. What I mean by that too, the vocally part, is very, very important. Some people will never be good at Twitter because getting it down to 280 characters, they can't do it. Great, long form blog. Other people don't want to write ever. Great, do a podcast or do live videos, or maybe not live if you freak out too much about it being live. Do recorded videos that you edit yourself, make it as perfect as you want it to be, but get it up there.
Absolutely. Because, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, it's interesting. So I'm at the stage in my life where it's like, I'm going to start dating again, which, you know, after 25 years of not dating, it's weird.
Talk about scary, huh?
Oh my gosh. Brené Brown talks about that one definition of courage and vulnerability. I'm a huge Brené Brown fan. But one of the definitions of courage and vulnerability is going on a date after you've been divorced. And it's so fascinating, because the one thing that I am learning is kind of a detachment, but it's also that you at this stage in my life, I'm not going to settle for a bad fit. And that's, you know, figuring out what works best for you requires intensive introspection. So saying, I'm going to try Twitter for 2 weeks. I'm going to do the Tim Ferriss thing. Cause so he takes his 6 month things and then he does 2 week intensive. And if after the 2 weeks, he's like, nah, this is not for me, he lets it go. If it's like, did okay at Twitter, I'm going to experiment a little bit more. Now I'm going to add in a little bit of video, then he'll do that. But the idea for me is, I think of it very much like a real relationship where, you know, you're sharing yourself with the world, and I guarantee you that what you are doing is going to help you. And I can virtually guarantee that it's going to help at least one other person, which is cool. You might not think it, you might not believe it, but it's cool. And part of that is figuring out where your best fit is. So playing around, as DP's talking about, and seeing, okay, this video scares the hell out of me, but I'm going to try it. Cause I've seen people who do video for 2 weeks, like my students, who end up loving it.
Right.
They are terrified of it at first, and then they do it, and then like, I had no idea that lights me up.
And they discovered that it fits their voice.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of finding your voice, is that it takes that experimentation and it takes that courage to be able to say, I think I hate writing, but I'm going to try to write for 2 weeks. I think I hate Instagram, but I'm just, you know, and again, just no attachment to the outcome other than I'm going to really give it an effort. And if I give it an effort and it doesn't work, maybe I become an Instagrammer and nobody follows me, but I enjoy it myself.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about RETOMA, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Ann Handley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching RETOMA, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the RETOMA way.
Well, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Amen.
And frankly, nothing lost in the effort. One of the things I would advise is don't go investing in a $5,000 personal home video studio until you've used what you have and see if it fits.
And that's the beauty of the way technology works today. Virtually everything that you need, if you have a decent smartphone, you can experiment and find out, is it worth spending more money on?
Right.
Because you can always upgrade. And nobody ever said, wow, that content sucked, but Don was on a $5,000 studio, so therefore I'm going to watch it. Versus, wow, DP was on a $100 smartphone, but his stuff was really good, but I'm not going to watch it because he was on a $100. Nobody's ever said that. If the content is good and their core minimums met, you know, that's really what it comes from. That's really the essence of, so I love that you say that, because I think we're both kind of Midwestern frugal and duct tape, you know, work with what you got until you there's proof of concept to move forward.
Yeah.
You know, because I work with a lot of startups in my consulting, and that's one of the things I always talk to them about. Use what you got. Just know what you got. Get proof of concept. Get proof of concept. You get a little revenue, reinvest. But until then, work with what you got, brother, you know, sister, just go for it.
Yep.
You know, that is really sage advice from you, is to be cognizant of that as well, is just don't overthink it. Just start with where you are.
Right. And that's the whole point. Put it into practice. But make sure it's based on who you are, what you do, and how you do it. Meaning, you aren't coming to me for tips on how to make a smoky eye mascara makeup. You aren't coming to me for what's the newest, most stylish fashions coming out of Milan. You aren't coming to me to learn anything about sports or anything like that. I don't give a rip about any of that stuff. But if you know anything about me, because I've demonstrated it over and over again, I'm all about branding. I'm all about being authentic, not with a capital A authenticity, but in a, this is how I actually am, guys, authenticity. And the biggest compliment I ever get is when I meet someone and they say, you are exactly the way you are on video. And to that I say, yeah, because I'm not trying to shine on anybody. This is me, warts and all.
Yeah.
And consequently, if you don't like it, you're saving me a ton of time by not coming and talking to me.
Absolutely. And that's really, you know, the essence of what this is about, in my opinion. And I learned this, and I preach it in all of my classes. Every class, if you were to take any class with me at the University of Wisconsin, we read 1,000 True Fans by Kevin Kelly.
Right.
And the, you know, that is really about identifying who those 1,000 people who would be true followers, true engagers, true connectors, who are they and how do you speak to them to attract them? There are people who are like, jujitsu is stupid. And I love them. They're great people, but they're not on the inner circle of that tribe of mine where, you know, or Seneca, Stoicism, that's all about living too harshly. And they love whatever it is, that accounting, because my brother's an accountant. You know, they and I don't. And that's cool because there's people out there for them. But I think that, you know, what you're saying is exactly right, is that our content becomes our first point of contact. And I like to think of it as our receptionists who are like screening the phone calls of, you know, can I talk to Don Stanley or can I talk to DP Knute? And it's like, okay, what are you looking for and what do you want? And our content is that screener that says, no, he's not the right fit for you, or you might want to go here, or yeah, I think he would be the right fit for you. And the cool thing is, instead of a receptionist telling you that, you watch your live shows, you follow DP's Twitter stream, you watch some of the video replays, you'll start to see, is he a good fit? And that qualification for a business, for an individual brand, is absolutely unequivocally priceless, because it works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365.25 days a year. And it is, I totally geek out about it because it makes such a difference to allow us to scale in a way that a Marcus Aurelius couldn't, that a Seneca couldn't, that a Miyamoto Musashi from the Book of Five Rings couldn't. We've got that luxury now. So that's where it behooves us as people who want to create some change at any scale, create opportunities for us at any scale, whether it's writing a book or, you know, becoming a singer and, you know, getting karaoke events, whatever it is. But it behooves us to take the time to dig into who we are, to work on that practice, and then put content out.
And experiment, experiment, experiment. Because the beauty about experimentation on social media is if you don't have an audience, no one sees you fail ever. And everything you do initially will have zero audience.
Yeah.
But if you do it and it fits and it feels right and you get passionate about it, it may take a while. Yeah. You know, I know a personal friend of both of ours, George B. Thomas, he's been on the podcast. I asked him about his videos and I asked the question like this. I think I said, so how many videos did you have to put out before you heard anything other than crickets in your audience? And he said, 75.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? 75 videos and you had zero audience? And he said, yeah. And I'm glad because the first 40 were terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now George B. Thomas is synonymous with HubSpot and inbound marketing and all that stuff because he has proven he's the man when it comes to that by demonstrating who he is, what he does, and how he does it in person. And he does it in such a way that people see him, love his personality, get his energy. And he's one of those people who I guarantee you, you will say, oh my God, George B., you're exactly like you were on video.
Absolutely. George is an amazing guy and an amazing guy on so many levels. And the cool thing that I'll add into that is because I've had a couple of consulting projects where I've worked with individuals who are looking, they have fairly large brands, but they're looking to scale them, is a lot of times they're nervous about, what if I just become known as just a HubSpot person? I want to be more than that. Or what if I become just, I'm known as just a medical doctor and I want to be more than that. Cool thing like right now is George has made so many connections with so many people that he's been on this incredible weight loss journey.
Right.
And grading his health, that he's been able to take that audience now and share part of his personal life and part of what he's doing and scale that over. And that's the beauty of this too is, you know, he didn't know that he was going to do that when he started content regarding inbound, but now he's able to do that. And that's what's cool is this evolves with you and, you know, allows you to make it what you want and bring your audience along. And a lot of that audience becomes friends in many ways. You know, you become connected with them in a way that just is really fulfilling. And I think more than ever, we need those real human connections of people who are going to push us and nurture us, stumble with us, stand up with us, scrape our knees together, dust ourselves off and laugh about it, cry about it, and then continue to move forward. And that's the cool thing as well is that, you know, when you start to do this branding and the way that you talk about the nonfiction branding, the scalability, you are not stuck in a box forever as just an inbound marketer or just a guy who likes guitars and started a podcast or just a guy who teaches at the university.
Well, I like to say that the nonfiction brand foundation that you build is the point upon which you can pivot. You never leave that pivot point, but that doesn't stop you from saying, okay, I've been talking about, or I've been specializing in this area. I'm going to pivot. I'm not changing a darn thing about who I am, what I do, and how I do it. I'm just changing the topic.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. A lot of people who haven't done the work do is they start mission drifting all over the place as they chase whatever the shiny object is. Whoa, and you see that all day long on social media. But anyway, we could go on forever about this stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's why Don Stanley is such a great guest to have on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. Don is an instructor in the Life Sciences Communication Department at the University of Wisconsin here in Madison, Wisconsin. And he's a great friend and a great friend of the podcast as well. And so I know you're going to be hearing from him in the future. Don, how can people connect with you?
I'm pretty much on a whole bunch of platforms. Don Stanley 1294. Don Stanley 1294 on most platforms and at the number at 3 Rhino Media on, which is my business name, on the Twitters.
And by all means, connect with Don, because not only because Don's a great connection, but seeing who he connects with is almost a who's who in what we're talking about here, which is getting yourself out there, developing yourself as an individual, as a brand, as a person. Frankly, I'm totally geeking out on who you're connected to. And it's almost like a master's class reading list. These are people you should get to know.
I've been very lucky. I've been very, very lucky. And yeah, one day I was looking in my, somebody sent me the Forbes Inc. and Entrepreneur Top 50 Social Media Influencer list. And I'm like, close personal friends with this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. This one's on my speed dial. This one's on my speed. Yeah. So I've been very lucky. I've got some amazing contacts. And that's the beauty of building a nonfiction brand too, is people see what your character is, what you're interested in. And yeah, I'm very fortunate to know you and to be on your show and be connected with your community. Yeah, never take any of this for granted. It's really, really means a lot to me.
So take a page out of Don's book and put whatever you are in practice and experiment with it. Find out what fits you best vocally. I'm DP Knuten for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and he is
Don Stanley.
And we'll be talking at you sometime in the future. Bye-bye.